Dingy dingy dong dong. Bong.
I'm going to have a chocolate digestive.
Do it.
So much for that intro.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it was good. Mm. It was forward thinking, I think, because we'd had a gap, so.
Started thinking professionally for a minute.
Yeah, so, we could do this, we could do that, and then,
nah.
I saw one Reddit post asking that question of, do you do an intro for your podcast or not? And the majority of people said, nah, fuck that. So I'm with them.
The thing is, pretty much everyone has intros, outros, and fucking little segment things. Mm. And whilst it's cool,
you skip it.
If everyone's doing it, it's not really unique, is it?
When you watch a season, brand new season, what do you do? You normally watch the start of the intro. And then what happens in the next episode? It's gone.
There's only a couple of I watch Game of Thrones intro because it gases me up. Yeah, it's gas. And I watched Vikings intro because I fucking love the tune.
Yep.
As you got that on my playlists.
Mm. And that's it.
That's about it, yeah. Unless he's got a banging tune or great visuals, I'm not interested. And no matter what, Jem says, fucking skip this shit. And I say,
okay.
Depends. Depends. If he's one of them two, no. Anything else, yeah. Get this off my screen. Mm.
So, let me give you the update.
Please do.
If you listened to last week's episode, Ash berated me about my inability to play other games. I'm just getting choked up about it. And
you used to do that a lot.
What? Voice crack?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know.
Stop now, aren't you?
I know. Well, so I come up with the... we were talking about Death Stranding quite a bit in light of Death Stranding 2. Releasing in a couple of months, and we were trying to understand what the fuck is any of it about. So, tried to get Ash to explain to me what Death Stranding 1 is about, and you basically said the same shit as what everyone else said, and that is, I don't know. So, I thought, well, what better than to play it? And then I set myself homework, an ongoing assignment of start Death Stranding and finish it and give a weekly update in the podcast as to what I'm doing, how I'm getting on, what's going on. So here it is, kind of like your Football Manager series. This is a Death Stranding series.
I'm all for it. However, there will be spoilers. So if you are going to play Death Stranding, don't listen to
this. There will be spoilers. And the problem that I've got is, a lovely biscuit, is because I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't know what's a spoiler and what isn't, if I'm honest. So I am... Six and a half hours in, something like that. I haven't. I mean, that's admirable. I'll take that for the week, mixed in with Split Fiction and WoW. I'll take the nearly 7 hours game time that I've managed to throw into it. It's decent. And what I will say, straight off the bat, considering all you see when you look up Death Stranding, is it being a walking simulator, I think it's great. Really, really like it.
Love this.
It's peaceful and simple, but scary at the same time. BTs can fuck off. However, what we did last episode is I went on Reddit and surmised sort of what Death Stranding was about. Couldn't work it out, but there were things like Timefall, BTs, the beach, whales and shit like that. Little buzzwords. Now, I understand a little bit about them because of those Reddit posts. If I didn't read any of that, I wouldn't have a fucking clue about what anything is happening because nothing gets explained, at least from what I've played, like barely.
I think I learnt more talking about it with you last week than I did playing the whole game to its completion.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. I carried my mum to the fucking incinerator.
Is it your mum, is it?
Yeah, it's your mum.
I can't remember.
Threw her ass in. Bash. So now fucking now my sister is the president of what was America. Because that's what you're trying to do. So from what I've gathered, the Death Stranding happened. And it's basically like where the dead has come into contact with the living and it's just fucked everything up. And what happens is if someone dies in the living world and they're not disposed of within 48 hours, they explode and take out fucking cities with them, like everything, they just get fucking bang. And then they turn into BTs. which are like these paranormal fucking horrible things that just, they're just grim, but they're invisible.
Just a terrible name for them, to be honest. Just because BT. In the UK, that means British Telecoms.
British Telecoms.
So I just can't take
BT's
it seriously.
Coming.
Yeah.
BT's coming. Yeah, but well, they're grim.
They're the things that you see their footprints in, isn't it? Is that what
yeah,
they are,
so they're it? So they are invisible, and we are invisible to them as humans. However, there are people with dooms, which means that like different levels of sort of like special powers, where some people are able to just see him outright. You as I don't even know his name. Norman Reedus is the fucking person, but my actual name...
Sam Bridges.
Sam Bridges, that's the fucking one.
I've pulled that out of the bag, I don't know.
He can sense them, so can't see them, can just sense that they're knocking about.
Is that,
and see footprints.
Is that not what that little thing's for, the little flower?
Yeah. So you've got a baby, which is called a BB. And a BB is taken from a mum while still in the womb. Like a vegetable mum, basically, and is taken out of the womb, and for whatever reason, I think it was being partly explained, but not fully explained yet, they are able to interact with the other side, which is called the beach. Is that the other side, I think?
I don't know. Like
I think, or that's the link in between.
If that is, I learned that last week here. So.
Or Death Stranding, I can't remember which one. And then
from the ending, I would presume you're right.
But they're able to sense the things, and basically they're in like a little fucking incubator, and you plug them in, and then yeah, there's like this.
That what powers that?
Yeah, like this antenna that is attached to your shoulder, and that fucking pings off in the direction of where things are, and that's how you avoid shit. And I love my BB. I've grown very attached to it. And that's exactly what the fucking fat geezer, the scientist, tells you not to do. He's like, it's just equipment. Don't get attached to it. It's fine. But if you've got a rocket to fucking calm it down, it gets stressed out. If you submerge it in water, as any fucking baby would, when you get back to your base, you fucking put it back in its incubator on the wall, make sure it's all right. You can have a shit. Like, there's all sorts of stuff. I spent a long time just in my base, just showering and stuff like that. It was weird.
It's definitely not sponsored by Monster Energy, that game.
Yeah, definitely not. Fucking hell, it's everywhere, isn't it? But it's planning the routes for everything that you need to do, and slowly working out exactly what, like being able to build a post box and everything like that. If you've never seen anything to do with Death Stranding, you are a postman. You're a courier, DPD, fucking UPS, whatever you want to be, you are one of them. And what our mission is, connecting a fallen world together. So each individual civilization, we're basically connecting them to the 5G network, which is actually called the Chiral Network. And with the hopes that eventually everyone, the whole of America, gets reconnected, and then boom, we can fucking take over again. But in order to do that, you have to travel to these individual places and set up the network with like this weird necklace that's made out of like tablets, like stone things. It's really odd. But because you have dooms, you're able to interact with this thing. And I thought that the premise of that, of just walking around and shit, would be so boring, but it's fucking fun. It's really fun having to keep your balance. Fucking, I know that you can manually load stuff in and change it around, but I just use the auto loader thing. I ain't fucking around moving shit about. And it does get dicey with like those people at the beginning that are trying to kill you. I can't remember what they're called. Like the mugs, hugs or something like that. Bugs. These people. But obviously the combat, like you said in last week, it isn't centered around combat. And I knew that going into it because of what you said. So the first time I see enemies like across some river, I'd set off one of their fucking recon things, and then suddenly they was after me, and I was shitting it because I was like, they've got guns and stuff, and I've got nothing, and I know this isn't a combat game. So I was like, what am I supposed to do? But yeah, it planning your routes, figuring out what's the best way to go, learning how to use ladders and shit like that. I didn't realize that when you place a ladder, you can't pick it up again. You've just placed it. And what I found quite cool is it, much like in a Soulsborne game when you can leave a note, other people can do that. They can leave notes for you and signs and shit like that. But also, their equipment, so like their ladders and their ropes that they can tie off on cliffs and shit like that, they will stay there for a period of time. But then the timefall, which is the rain that erodes everything, in real time, erodes that shit. So you only have access to what other players have put down for a certain amount of time, and it's forever changing. You don't need PlayStation Plus for it, because I double checked, because in fucking Elden Ring, you need PlayStation Plus to see everyone's shit, and I kicked off about that, and I said to Steph, I said, I bet this is the fucking same, and she Googled it, and it ain't. So that's good. I ain't got to buy PlayStation Plus for that. And I'm just at the point now where I'm about to get the motorbike, I think. Or the geezer told me it needs a new battery. So I think I'm on a mission to sort of figure that one out. So even though I'm, call it 7 hours in, I haven't actually done a whole lot. But it's fun, man. It is fun. I've been thinking about it all week. Not in an obsessive way, just in the back of my mind. Go, oh yeah, I've got to play that game.
I'm trying to remember bits and bobs, and some stuff's coming back to me. I didn't know that stuff left the world because of the rainfall,
yeah.
Timefall,
yeah,
which is cool. I knew it left, but I didn't know the reason. Have you not got a gun yet or nothing?
Nothing, bruv.
Yeah, because I remember you used to be able to, like, if you did get caught with your pants down, you used to be able to, like, throw some of your luggage at them and then run in and whack them up. Throw a suitcase at them and then go in and punch them up and that. But yeah, you do get weapons, but I can't remember what the... I'm sure you can, like, fire, like, these balls. You know, like a ball with rope on and then ball and then it wraps around them. I'm sure you can fire them. And I'm sure you get an actual gun that you can kill people with. But obviously killing people's bad because then their bodies need incinerated.
They're fucked, yeah.
So I can't remember what the thing is around that. I'm sure there is something, but yeah, it's I feel like I'm not sure if I said it last week. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a bad game. I just feel like if the story was explained to me in like baby terms whilst I was playing it and I actually knew what was going on, I'd be more invested. But because I had no idea what was going on, everything just felt so pointless. I really, really didn't like. And I don't know if you can tell me why, because I don't know if I ever found out. Like, the lack of humans. Like, why am I delivering stuff to a hologram in a compound? Where is that then going? Where do them compounds lead? What is... Like, you're delivering a parcel to a hologram, but then where are they going? Where do they live there? Where's the rest of the humans? Are they the only humans left? I'm confused.
I'm pretty sure that they stay sort of under... either underground or out of the way because of everything that's going on, because of the BTs.
So there's a lot of civilization, they just live in the bunkers.
Yeah, they're all, from what I've gathered, they're all split apart. But this chiral network, which is what puts them all together, obviously they don't have access to that. So they can't...
You're making me want to buy Death Stranding too.
They can't talk to anyone, so you're linking them all up so that they're able to... Well, to just rebuild, pretty much.
Has Troy Baker turned up yet?
Troy Baker has not arrived yet. Okay. Has not arrived. I can't wait for that. It's just a good game so far. No, I mean, next week's update, it could be like going, oh, this is shit. But my sort of aim is to sink in at least sort of like minimum maybe 4 hours a week, minimum, to try and fucking shoehorn it in. But so far, yeah, it is fun. I'm enjoying it. I can see the appeal to it, but you really, it's one of those games where you do have to, yeah, keep in mind what the fuck is going on.
I remember there just being some really fucking annoying bits. Like, I don't know if you've faced them yet or they just haven't annoyed you the way they did me, but I just remember some parts just being like, just fuck off. You know what I mean? Just honestly, like when the world just turns to water and you're fighting a whale, but then you have to like keep trying to get out the water and climb on stuff and you keep getting knocked back in the water and I'm just like, that shit just frustrates the hell out of me.
I had to carry 6 boxes of precious metals to the place where you get the bike, and there was BTs along the route and I tried to my best to avoid them, but no, sure enough, I feel like it was meant for the scene, like, and you can't escape it. Sure enough, they got me and it all kicked off. And it was just so frustrating because this fucking, this BB is pinging off everything, fucking pointing at them. I'm trying to avoid them, and then all of a sudden, there's a BT on my ass. There's fucking black things coming out of the ground, grabbing hold of me, and I'm fucking pushing them off. What happened? I fell off a cliff. Fell off a cliff, and all my shit fell off. It lost like 50% of its durability. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, that's so, so annoying. So yeah, that stuff's going to piss me off. I'm going to avoid BTs at all cost.
The collector's edition of the Death Stranding 2, it says you get a machine gun, MP bullets, level 1, early unlock. But so I guess you can get guns in Death Stranding 2, so cool. Cool statue, I don't know what the fuck.
Does it have the price for it?
Yeah, I don't know if this is 219 quid, but I don't know if this is the...
What?
I don't know if this is the proper price or if this is just like sold. I don't know because it's £299 there on eBay. Fuck knows. But yeah, I don't know. I'll keep my mince pies on it, sunshine, and I'll. I'm looking forward to more of that because I don't know what happened. Three times.
That's
cool, man. What else you got for us? Split Fiction faction.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Split Fiction. Sorry, more biscuits.
You playing with Steph or Mark or a combination of both?
Playing with Steph and it's very fun.
Split screen? Nice.
Some decent Easter eggs in there. Some funny levels. And overall, it just feels really good. The movement, the fluidity of it, the speed of the actual game itself feels really good. And we kind of had to stop ourselves from playing it because we were just steamrolling it. We sat down on, was it Saturday or Sunday? I think it was Sunday, for maybe like almost 6 hours, just fucking playing this game. And yeah, it's do I think it's as good as It Takes Two? I'm not sure yet because I haven't finished it, but I'm teetering on. Because I really liked It Takes Two, but this is definitely more, not gory, but more serious undertone. Whereas, because like It Takes Two was quite, not childish, but very whimsical and ultimately was trying to teach you a lesson, which I feel like is what Split Fiction is trying to do as well. But Split Fiction is less happy and in your face, but still very, very fun. There's also an Easter egg with the elephant from It Takes Two, which is very cool. And the side missions are very fun. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil it for people, but there are some very, very funny side missions that I'd like seeing clips of from TikTok, but not all the way through. And I know Steph had seen barely anything. And there is one where... spoilers, I mean, it's just a side mission, so it's not too bad. But there's one where you are both pigs knocking around trying to gather apples for like this thing that is like opens doors for you. And you go through all these different little levels, rolling through mud. Like Steph's pig, its thing was it cranked its head up on a spring, like really high, and then you'd press triangle or X or whatever, and then it would like fucking retract itself, and that's how you jumped up things. My pig just farted. So you'd jump up and fucking fire, and you just fart your way to wherever you needed to go. It farted rainbows.
Brilliant.
Very funny. And you're knocking around, and then we're like, oh, like this is really cool, enjoying this. And you basically end up going down this ramp, like this slide. And Steph was like, oh, this is quite cool. She was like, could you imagine if we fucking just died and that was it? And yeah, that's what happened. At the end of this ramp was a meat grinder.
Nice.
So you go in the meat grinder, all gory, fucking splatter. Steph was shocked. She was like, what the fuck is that? And then screen goes black and then comes back into frame. And now you're sausages. You're hot dogs.
Yeah,
hot dogs bouncing around. And then you've got to cook yourself on a grill. And then fucking Steph had to squirt me with ketchup and mustard. And then you jump into a bun and then fucking someone eats you. And then boom, that's that side mission done. Hilarious.
Sounds
fucking... just so stupid. It's a good game. I strongly recommend it.
What is the game, though? I don't know what it is.
So, you are playing as Zoe and Mio, which is a weird name. And basically, they are both writers, struggling writers that haven't been published yet. And Mio is your angry, dark type personality, kind of hates the world type shit. And then Zoe is the happy-go-lucky, like always finds the good in the world type. So polar opposites, basically, but typical like polar opposites that become best friends, you know what I mean? So they both get a message from this publisher saying they want to meet them and discuss like publish deals and all that shit. And basically they all let like these two end up at this big, it's like in a skyscraper type thing, big building. And there's quite a few of them. So they've obviously contacted other people. And basically this geezer that runs it comes down and he's like, yeah, we're really excited to sort some stuff out, like get some ideas off of you and figure everything out. Basically takes them into this room, massive room, with this huge contraption in the middle of it. And these like bubbles that are knocking around it on the sides. And basically he says, step into the bubbles. And we'll be able to look at your thoughts and your ideas rather than you tell them to us. We'll be able to actually see them. And everyone's like, oh, like that's really cool. Like, let's jump in. So everyone jumps in the bubbles. Mio doesn't. She's a bit dubious about it. Zoe's already jumped in. And obviously when they go in these bubbles, they're like unconscious because their brain's being fucking tapped into. Mio kicks off. But in doing so, they like try and force her into this fucking bubble. She fucking scrambles and then ends up falling into Zoe's bubble. And now they're both fucking interconnected. So both of their thoughts are now intertwined. And it's now where they are currently living the stories that they've got in their head. So everything that they've written in the past, they're now living it as a physical memory. So they know what's going to happen and all that sort of shit. And basically within these stories, there's glitches. And that's what you find at the end of every level is a glitch. And what that glitch does when they grab hold of it is it basically creates a hole in this bubble thing. So from the outside, it looks like a massive bubble that they're sat in, like a bubble of goo or whatever. From their heads, they're in sort of like this huge room that almost looks like the universe around it, and you can see sort of like out of the bubble a little bit. So yeah, every time they get a glitch from the end of one of these stories, it creates a crack in this, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And yeah, so far, from what I gather on that, the story is that they're going through all of their stories to get out and expose this creepy guy that's trying to fucking sap everyone's memories from him. And he's kicking off saying, don't fucking do it because you're going to ruin my life's work because he spent all his years making these fucking contraptions.
Nice.
And that's it. That so you don't need cool. to play it because I'll fucking, I'll tell you about it. You know what I mean?
It sounds like a game that I'll YouTube. Sounds pretty cool. Sounds like a cool watch.
It's good fun. It is a good game. And yeah, for like I said last week, I like these types of games, man. It's good fun. It's a unique play style that is almost the genesis of multiplayer.
It's refreshing.
It is refreshing. Old school, but new school. I love it.
The best school.
Hmm.
Okay. So, what have I got?
I don't know.
Fuck all.
You're not done anything?
No, I've it's inspired by your homework assignment.
Mm.
I've took on my own. Though I haven't started it yet. What I have done...
Go on.
...is download the demo.
Yeah.
Just to double check. It's not going to be a terrible waste of money.
Because
it's expensive right now. I'm going to do what you said you were going to do, but didn't. And you let him down. Talking to you, Sam.
Oh.
Talking to you, Sam.
Yeah, go on.
Grand Blue Fantasy fucking Relink fucking
yeah.
Narnia's Wardrobe, that one. I'm going to give it a go.
I can just give it to you if you want.
That's all right.
I've got the physical copy of
have
it.
Have you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll just give it to you. Yeah, it'd be easier. Well, fuck the demo. I'm going to try and work my little way through that. I mean, I downloaded a demo. I've started downloading demos, right? Because I've looked for the demos category. And I think demos now are actually worth it. Not all, but quite a few. I.e., a lot of them follow the Final Fantasy format of carrying on from where you left off, right? Like that game that you mentioned about.
Oh, yeah, that one.
The Berserker. The warrior one, the Viking Khazar, the Berserker, or whatever it was called.
No. What? What a game?
Yeah.
What game did I talk about? Berserker?
Khazar the Berserker or something.
Oh, yeah. What about it?
Yeah, I've done that. I've done the whole demo of that, completed the demo.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, I see.
Which was fucking hard, by the way.
Yeah.
Very hard game. Yeah, complete demo of that, and then when you get the game, you can carry on from you are. So I like that style because you don't feel like you have to. Because I don't like the idea of starting a demo, doing loads of shit. I like this, buying the game, having to do all that shit again.
Do it all again, yeah. Takes the fun out of it.
It saps it a bit. So, well, yeah, I was going to play the demo tonight, but it looks like I'll just play the game. but yeah, I downloaded a demo of Octopath Traveler 2.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No.
Very popular game. In some circles.
Yeah, Octopath Traveler 2. That's my fucking go-to, that one.
So it's... I advise you to get some images up while I try and describe what it is.
You haven't taken any of these biscuits, by the way. Have I offended you with the biscuits?
No, I've eaten far too much. I always stock up on food before I get here so I can make it to dinner.
What am I looking at?
Octopath Traveler 2. All one. They both have the same art style. Very, very unique gameplay mechanics and ideas. And you essentially start the game. It's 8 different characters you can be, hence the Oct.
It's a JRPG. I already don't like it.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
I apologise.
You don't have to apologise. You like what you like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really a JRPG fan either, but... I'd say Baldur's Gate and stuff got me into turn-based stuff, so I'm more appealed to it now. I downloaded the demo. You get to pick one of 8 characters at start, and they've all got their own stories, right? So they're not connected in any form, as far as I know. I picked a guy called Oswald, who has quite a dark story at the beginning. He's a wizard or a scholar, if you will. I think magic's readily available in this world, but he uses fire and teaches his little instructor about fire and stuff like that. But he works out how to harness the fire to make it more powerful.
It's on sale at the moment.
Yeah, I know. I've got it on my wish list. And he teaches him, rah, rah, rah. But the game actually starts with... Oswald in court and being sentenced to a long time in prison for killing his wife and his child, which is dark as fuck.
Nice.
So you start the game in prison, and it's like a prison island. So it's a whole island, and you're in jail, and you're kind of just thrust in there. And then it's like, oh, I need to escape here. Rah rah rah. Rah. And it transpires that the guy that you was working, like through flashbacks and stuff, the guy that you was like your sidekick, your compatriot, basically murdered all your family, and you've took the blame for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not intentionally, but that is the situation that we're in. So the game is kind of like, okay, you escape the island and then kind of free to do what you want, like open world style. But what's cool about it is I don't know how it all plays out, but I've watched a lot of videos on it trying to not spoil myself, but try and get a grip of what actually the game is and how it works. Because it's interesting in the fact that you can pick one of 8 characters, right? So I picked Oswald. I could have picked one of the other 7. But you can carry on with Oswald's story to its completion, I guess. But all these other characters are in the world somewhere, and you can go and interact with them, and they'll join your party, and you can level them up. But and then obviously there's like a big thing at the end of the game.
Can you swap between them?
How
you can level them up.
I'm not sure. This is what I don't understand. I'm not sure how it works in terms of obviously you can use them in your party while you're fighting, But they've all got like different abilities and stuff. But then obviously, say Oswald, who I am now, meets, I don't know, Phil, the fisherman. Mm. I just made that up. And then he joins my party, and then I complete Oswald's story with Phil in my party. Does that mean when I play Phil's story, like I meet Oswald?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand how all that works. But it's very very interesting and very unique, and I thoroughly enjoyed the demo. The one thing I don't like about it, which is what I didn't like about JRPGs when I was a kid, and they've kind of gone away from that, is it's got that system combat in where... like the old Pokemon games where you're running around and it'll just go...
Yeah.
I like to see that there's a fight coming up.
Yeah, what's happening, yeah.
I don't like it just spawning, you know, randomly.
I used to hate that shit. You're in a fucking cave and you a couple of steps and then... oh, fucking hell, I can't be arsed.
Yeah, and that happens on this. So, like, I'm trying to, like, look around and go around the world, but I'm sprinting at 100 miles an hour at all times because I'm like, I just don't want to get into a fight. I'm trying to look, you know, I just feel like rushing. I feel like I'm under pressure to do stuff all the time, which I don't like. But I think I'll buy it. I don't think I'll buy it yet. So that kind of led me into, oh, maybe I'll check out that other, you know, fantasy RPG game. And I'm going to do it for you, Sam. I'm going to give it a good old go, mate.
Grand Blue Fantasy Relink is a very pretty game. I just, it was fun. It just weren't massively for me. But also, I can't fucking stand the super, super positive American attitude from it as well. Have some fucking darkness, bruv. Way to go, team. Yeah. We finally did it. Yay. Yeah, shut the fuck up, bruv. Shut up.
Yeah, I don't. I hope there is some darkness because I don't like all that shit.
I don't know if there is, man. I really don't know if there is.
There has to be.
Well, with Octopath Traveler 2, it says... what games does it compare to? Is it worth it? And generally, what did you think? And the comment underneath that was, it's like Octopath Traveler 1, but 2.
Such a knob thing to say. I love it. You're not wrong, I guess.
So I said, oh, well, that solves it. It's got good reviews.
Yeah.
It has got good reviews. Number 1 had very good reviews as well. And then it's got a 9 out of 10 on Steam.
Ping out some of them Steam reviews, man. Let's hear what people are saying, because I still don't really understand what it is, other than a JRPG with annoying combat parts. But
this geezer's got 78 hours on record. Just go for it, seriously. Either you played the first one or not, being familiar with JRPGs or not, I'd still recommend this game. Every single aspect of the first game that I already considered one of my favourite games was outdone here. Stories become better. Combat system become better. Visual effects become better. Only thing that didn't improve was music, because you can't improve what's already peak. If you don't play it until the end, this game has a lot to offer. Oh, even if you don't play it till the end, this game has a lot to offer. Better than Octopath 1 in terms of gameplay in pretty much every way, but I liked more of the individual characters of 1 than I did 2. However, the cast in 2 has much more opportunities to interact with each other, and the quality of life features makes it hard to play 1 after playing 2. I recommend trying out both games, but definitely recommend playing the first game before this. And then we always round it with a little bad one. Honestly, not a huge fan. There is a lot I liked about it. I liked the art style and the graphics, the music, the way the characters were introduced, but I didn't love the combat or the class system very much. The game also felt like a slog at a lot of the time, and I found the progression kind of confusing. I understand that it's supposed to allow you to make your own choices on what parts of the story you progress and when, but it was overwhelming to me. Well, it's that last bit, it was overwhelming to me. Shut up. How about that? Shut the fuck up. For me, it is similar. It is too similar to OT1. Many characters to play with unique skills. Good story, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, it's got good reviews, man. People love it. Great story. Great gameplay. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Geezer.
There you go. What I want to see is fucking Assassin's Creed, bruv.
I was about to ask you, baby, what's your thoughts on the Shadows?
It's getting a lot of fucking decent shit. A lot of people are saying they might think that Assassin's Creed is back.
I'm seeing the polar opposite. One extreme to the next. It's like, this is the fucking best Assassin's Creed since the old days, and then people saying this is fucking just as bad as the other slop.
Mm-hmm. We've got very positive reviews. It's currently the number 1 selling game on Steam. as well. And for the very low price of £424.37, you can get the Assassin's Creed bundle. 16 games. There you go. Let's have a look at some reviews here because, yeah. Oh, all right, okay. First two, not recommended. Here we go, spicy. I can't play this single-player game because of an issue with my Ubisoft Connect account. Right, I'm ignoring that one then. Locked me out of my Ubisoft Connect account. Right, I'll ignore that as well. Jin Sakai mastered the Way of the Ghost, but Naoe was born in the shadows. Hey, Ubisoft, if you actually want people to buy your forgettable 7 out of 10 games, then drop the Ubisoft Connect bullcrap and stop forcing us to install it. This is PC problems right here. Assassin's Creed Shadows is a game that tells the story of Johnny Somoli, who time travels to the federal era, or to the feudal era of Japan. I don't know what that means.
Somoli or Somali?
Somoli. Johnny Somoli? Johnny Somali? Fuck knows.
Is his name Johnny?
No, I think this guy's just taking the
piss.
That's
what I mean, I'm confused.
It's a bit overwhelming with so much content at 15 hours of gameplay, but I'd say Assassin's Creed is back on the right path with this one. But don't buy it full price, wait for sale, and more importantly, do not buy the deluxe edition. You can get those things in-game for free if you play enough. Problem with Steam is that most of it is PC player reviews, and a lot of them are just fucking upset little people. So trying to trawl through some of this is a bit shit.
I think it's a good gauge on games like indie games and smaller titles, but big games like AC, they're going to have people whinge or just make shit up. One of the big problems I've seen a lot of people say is that they just need to settle on one character. They need to stop this dual character stuff because saying like, I'm sorry, I don't know their names. The lady is like really cool to play. She's assassin. Yeah. She can do X, Y, and Z. And the other geezer is just a big brute.
Yeah, I was seeing like, a lot of...
They're
yeah.
like two polar opposites, but you kind of can play the whole game as one, apparently. And it's just like, why would anyone play this? You want to play the cool ninja.
Yeah, I saw someone saying that you can do like 70% of the game as Naoe.
That's the girl. Couldn't remember the name.
Rather than Yasuki, which
you know
is the
names,
geezer.
Bro. Yeah. Respect.
Yeah, I know it.
Big AC fan.
Which, yeah. I mean... You sort of I agree with you on that. I don't want two different people. If I'm honest, I know that obviously we've had many discussions about it in terms of role play and we and you are on different spectrums when it comes to that. But I think we can both agree that regardless of what you like to play and how you like to play it, if we're going to go strictly into a role-playing aspect and wanting to build a connection with the character that you're playing with or as, I want to be solely on that character. I don't want to have to flick between because I feel like if you flick from one character that you're really enjoying and then have to flick to another, it's fucking annoying. Especially if you then have, like with The Last of Us. But it was kind of different with The Last of Us because that game makes you hate Abby. Makes you fucking hate her. And then all of a sudden you've got to be Abby. And then you play through the story and you go, oh shit, I don't actually hate her. Like this has twisted it on my head.
Interestingly, I nearly stopped playing when I switched to Abby. And then I powered same through here. And I was like, actually, I think I'm team Abby.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think, Abby's not in the wrong here. Yeah. So are we the bad guys this whole time? But yeah, I feel like, yeah, you don't need to have both of them.
I think now on the head with it, really, the doing dual protagonists, it dilutes it, I think.
Yeah.
You want
yeah.
one, and you can have it a really strong character, be it Yasuki and
Naoe. I think it's right. Naoe, I'm not really sure.
Either one, I think, pick one of them and go with that, because doing two, it dilutes it, right? Because you have your way of playing with the... Naoe, and then if you're forced to then change to a character that you don't want to play as because you strictly want to play as Naoe, he's going to have different moves, different ways of moving and stuff, and you're like, then that part becomes a slog because I don't want to play as this guy. They just rush to get through it.
Yeah,
you're not enjoying playing as him, whereas in The Last of Us, at least, it's just cover-based shooting, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
not that crazy.
The same stuff. You haven't got, because I imagine... You're going to have different abilities with different characters.
Completely different, yeah.
So there'll be, I've seen the parkour with Yasuke, and he kind of just like barrels his way up.
Yeah, because he's a big fucking
big geezer,
Samuristic oaf.
But as the Assassin's Creed, you want to play as a nimble assassin. Most people are going to want to play as now, eh? And
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and I think, like I say, I think that just dilutes the game a bit. So I think the game would have done better if it was just now, eh? Rather than
Assassin's Creed is about assassins. You come away from that if they're going back to their roots, then go back to them properly. I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad thing, and there probably is people that like how Shadows has been done, but the one thing that Shadows will forever live with is being compared to Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. It just will, because Ghosts was so incredibly good and sort of what everyone wanted, because Assassin's Creed weren't doing it yet. And that is a setting in Japan as a fucking samurai. And it did it oh so well. Very fucking well. And it looked very, very pretty whilst doing it. So I kind of think whilst Assassin's Creed isn't necessarily in competition with Ghost of Tsushima, because they've released at two completely different times, people don't want to be big brutes, if I'm honest. People have been screaming for an Assassin's Creed based in Japan.
Since number one.
Yeah, since number one. For a very long fucking time. Very long time.
Since I was about 19.
And the excitement when it finally got leaked that Code Red was going to be set in Japan. Everyone was like, oh my fucking God. So, I don't really understand why you wouldn't just go all in with that assassin type. Because obviously Naoe is a ninja. She's not a samurai. She's a she is a ninja. So own it, go with it. It doesn't really. I understand that having Yasuki as this big brute of a samurai, it does fit the story, but I just don't think that's you're playing an Assassin's Creed game. You don't want to be big and brutish.
I think you either have to have Naoe be the ninja. That can fight like a samurai, or you have Yasuki, who is a samurai that can fight like a ninja and sneak around like a ninja. I feel like they've tried to do both, and by doing that, I don't know, I'm guessing from what people have said and what I've seen, it dilutes it while doing that. If they'd stuck with one protagonist, I feel like they'd had a better shot at it.
If the story isn't dependent on having two separate characters, let's hypothetically say that it isn't, then for me, your best put a call to appease everyone would have been to have one character, be able to change that character as to whether you want to play a geezer or you want to play a woman, and then have some form of skill tree in there.
Like they've done with most of the other ones, like Valhalla and that. You could be Eivor as a guy or a female. Yeah.
But then have those playstyles. If you want to go through as a samurai that's fucking big and brutish, then fucking go for it. But if you want to go through as this stealthy ninja, then have that in your skill tree, or have an amalgamation of both, so you're able to get those playstyles if it wasn't story dependent. That's how a lot of it could be solved. If it's that big of an issue, like you say, neither of us have played it. So it might not actually be a problem, but I noticed that playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I preferred playing as Jacob than I did as Evie. Absolutely nothing wrong with Evie. Very good story and a very good character. But I feel like the switching, it just isn't for me, really.
That's the one in London, isn't it?
Yeah, and for some reason I feel like it stretches out the story unnecessarily. Even though that's not what it does, that's what I feel like, because you spend 20 hours playing as one character, and then all of a sudden you've now got to play as someone else. And if the stories aren't linked up yet, it feels like I'm back to square one because I'm playing another game. I've just done 20 hours of progression, now I'm fucking back to nothing again. So now it feels longer until the inevitable of those two stories linking up.
I've seen a lot of people, Assassin's Creed Shadows launching in a polarizing state, shall we say, has done a lot for another game, because I've seen a lot of people playing Rise of the Ronin now.
Yeah,
And people are giving it the old, why did we hate this again?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, why the fuck is this, like, this is well underrated. Why did we not like this? And it's weird, isn't it? Like, 'cause that come out, and everyone was like, this is fucking shit. Because you got that, and I got something else, right?
I never got Rise of the Ronin because of that. I was going.
You were going to.
I was going to, yes.
And I went Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma, because Dragon's Dogma come out alongside Rise of the Ronin, and everyone was fucking slating Rise of the Ronin, and unfortunately, fucking, I fell into the trap of. I mean, it was expensive as well. It's difficult, isn't it? Because if everyone's slating a game and then it's got a £70 price tag, you don't want to fucking do that. You don't want to spend that money. But yeah, I mean, let's have a look at fucking Rise of the Ronin then. Assassin's Creed Shadows looks good. I probably will get it. I won't be paying full price for it. If I can help it, I'll try and avoid that. But for someone like myself, it feels relatively criminal to not own Assassin's Creed Shadows. So I say I won't pay full price. If I do, then I'm like, it is what it is. Rise of the Ronin's only £40 as well.
I've got set in here. This was a month ago. Rise of the Ronin is probably one of the most underrated games I've ever played. I can literally feel the passion, art, and this coming out. It's my favourite game that came out last year. The story, voice acting, graphics are meh, which is why it got bad reviews, but who cares? The gameplay is top-notch and makes up for its flaws. It's fun to master different weapons and styles. Someone replied, no, that's not the case. The bad reviews came from many factors. 125 game plus game websites reviewed it for one console. Two, released in the same game from a huge company that was absent from 12 years ago. Three, the fake reviewers keep it compared. This English is awful. This isn't me, by the way. The fake reviewers kept comparing it. I'm trying to just fill in his blanks with a lot of games. I can't read anymore. It's just all over the place. But basically, everyone's just saying, yeah, it's really fucking good. And I don't know why everyone dunked on it so much.
Let me try and find. That's too long. Great game. Great game. Extremely poor optimization. Can absolutely not recommend until they make it better on PC. Well, fuck off. Just finished the game maybe an hour or two ago and unlocked the harder difficulty with the new gear and felt zero desire to do it. The game is nice for a 40 to 60 hour playthrough, but maybe wait for a 25 to 50% sale on and patches. Of course, it is more enjoyable if you have knowledge of the Bakumatsu period of Japan. Just a heads up, I have all three maps at 80-ish and did the pro shogunite path. Again, that's too long of a review. I'm not that interested. Expecting Ghost of Tsushima 2.0 from Rise of the Ronin was setting the bar too high. Graphically, it feels like a game from 2016 to 18, which is jarring for a modern title released in 2024. Performance-wise, my setup, a 4090 and more, check my profile, is overkill. Yeah, I still ran into stutters and crashes that a lot of people are. That's the thing, man, is optimization is obviously a very important thing, but I feel like a lot of bad reviews come from optimization rather than the game itself.
But this is the problem, isn't it? This is the developers and the higher ups, maybe more so, it's a problem because they're pushing this game out when it's not ready. And then the reviews will drop and be like, yeah, 7 out of 10 is all right, but it's framey and it's jittery and it's buggy. And then 3 months down the line, the game's fucking smooth as butter.
Yeah.
But they don't go and re-review it. It's not their job to re-review it, right? Mm. But they don't re-review it. So then reviews, you just go, you're looking in a shop, not so much these days, I suppose, but you're on the PlayStation store and you're like, oh, what's this? Oh, I remember this. Look at reviews like 6s and 7s. You're like, no, fuck that then. I'm not paying £40 or whatever it might be at the time. And that's kind of just how it does. So you kind of sign your own death warrant with it a little bit, because games are not finished and optimised when they launch, and they tend to get fixed after.
Yeah, agreed. It's very difficult when you look at any reviews for it, like the overall 3.6 out of 5 stars, 7 out of 7 IGN, 7 out of 10 GameSpot, 4 out of 5 on TechRadar. What we got? The 11 months ago, the combat and weapon variety. You get to choose your playstyle. Want to use guns? Have at it. Traditional samurai who shall not dishonor themselves. Use bows and shurikens. The combat has a stamina bar and plenty of skills to learn and combat styles to master as you play. The more you use a certain weapon, the better it gets. The closer you get to your friends or hunt down criminals, they will give you new combat styles and or teach you the next level of it. Jesus Christ. This person just basically says the game is good. RPG system is great and allows you to focus on what you want. very much like the weapon variety in the game. The outfits in the game are top tier. There is plenty of variation as well as transmog to let you create badass characters.
Yes,
you want.
The transmog. Every game needs that shit, man.
Mm-hmm. Allies, it is the best AI I have. Is it the best AI I have seen in a game? No. Do allies aid you in battle well enough so that you can take out the enemies that need to be dealt with while the other enemies go towards your allies? Yes, yes, yes. You can buff your allies with gifts that will make them better in combat. And when you get closer to them, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, I'm going to get it. It sounds great.
Do you reckon, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to get it, baby.
I wonder.
I added it to my wish list earlier. It's full price now. Otherwise, it's like 70 bones. I'm not paying that.
Get it on CD keys for 29 quid.
What's that, though? Or you can download the deload code for the PlayStation.
Let me have a look. You probably fucking can't because it's bollocks, isn't it? Rise of the Ronin. CD Keys likes to not give you any PlayStation fucking bollocks. No, that's all purely Steam. I don't want to play it through Steam. Yeah. Poor timing, innit?
Yeah.
For its release. One of those ones. Is it something that I think will be picked up eventually and then have a resurgence? Probably not. I don't think that it's in a category of game that is unique enough for it to have that kind of resurgence. Cyberpunk, I felt, is very unique in its format of game and exactly what kind of game it is, and had all that fucking hype around it, whereas Rise of the Ronin obviously doesn't have that. No Man's Sky, again, pretty fucking unique in what it is.
But, yes, I agree, and I'm not disputing what you're saying. But, however, if they're not, I imagine... But say they're working on a big fucking expansion for it, say. Yeah. And then they go, bang! Rise of the Ronin, Dreadwater. And mm-hmm. It's like fucking, they've added an expansion, there's pirate ships and I don't know, just spitballing it. And they drop that next week and everyone's a bit like, meh, on Shadows. People will buy the shit out of that. Or go, hold on, let's check that shit again.
Yeah.
And that is the resurgence. But I think it's having enough of a resurgence at the moment. More than I imagine they would have expected. They probably thought, yeah, we've done all right, that'll do. And now people are playing it again. They think, oh, well, here we go. Look, people are not shitting on it anymore. And people, I think, also are getting confused with what Rise of the Ronin was. I don't know. But they are the same team that made Neo.
Yeah.
Right? And that's fucking fantastic game. That is like Souls game, samurai, weapons, fucking demons. That shit is fire!
It's on Amazon for 40 quid.
And I was Devo when they didn't make Neo 3 and they made Rise of Ronin. Because I've played both Neos and they're fucking sick and they're hard as ball bags. And hopefully they'll go back to Neo if they're not going to do Rise of Ronin 2. So, yeah, them games are more Souls-like than they are Ghost of Tsushima, so AC Shadows.
Yeah.
So if you're going, oh, I just want to be a cool samurai. Yeah, you have to be a cool samurai, but you have to be good at the game as well. So, I don't know. Maybe that's something to do with it. I don't know. Maybe we're just good gamers. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that quite a bit, you know, where people are like, oh, yeah, this was really hard, really, really difficult. And go, well, I didn't find it hard.
Yeah, but you're a fucking Elden Lord now, mate.
I am an Elden
Lord.
Not,
you're not the little scrub I picked up. Mm. You've like, elevated. You beat Radahn.
Pre-nerf Radahn as well.
Radahn, bruv.
Spent a lot of time beating Radahn. Yeah.
I think you beat...
You beat Radahn before me.
Yeah, you beat... Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You beat post-nerf Radahn in base game. I beat pre-nerf Radahn base game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you beat pre-nerf... So you full circled and was like, yeah, I beat Radahn, no problem.
Did you? Yeah, you did prime con... Yeah, because it was you that made me fucking do it because I was so horrendously jealous
and
angry.
You was there like 3 days before me banging your head against the wall.
Yeah.
So it took me a couple of days, I think.
Yeah, it was a cunt of a boss. Killed it once and I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah, and rightly so, he's a cunt. Mm. But you did it, and not many people can do that shit. There's a geezer, Dan Gieselin. He has over like 8,000 deaths or something to him. And he's finally beat him the other day. He's still been playing it since the expansion dropped. Stuck on that boss.
It's one hell of a boss, man. I'm telling you, that prime consort Radahn is... what's even more crazy is, because I killed him... in his own gear, with his own fucking weapons, from normal Radahn, before he become a consort. Because I felt like I just needed to do that for me, was like, I'm going to fucking kill you in your own stuff with your own weapon. That's how much this fucking hatred is festering. And got his weapons at the end. I don't even like them. Don't even like them. I prefer his old weapons. Because that's just how I roll. And that boss fucking sucked.
One of the hardest bosses, if not the hardest boss I've ever fought.
It's got to be the hardest thing I've ever done in a game.
Previously to that, it was fucking Melaina was up there, brother. And now Melaina looks like a piece of piss.
Absolute piece of piss.
Fight every day compared to that.
Because I had that first phase of that fight was under lock and key. I weren't getting hit. No hit, full health. Weren't having to touch potions. Nothing. I was fucking sweet. And then when you get into that second phase, it all crumbles.
And all them beams of light.
Yeah, and then you watch a guide and it's like, oh yeah, when he does this, just move to the left and then I'll run over here. That never happened with me. We must have been playing different games because he was doing all sorts of weird shit with me. I had no fucking hope.
Sometimes they're grabbing you up and they pick
you
up and shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, like, fucking don't use the summon. Oh, fuck you. My mimic tier was out in full force. I wouldn't have been able to do it without that. No fucking chance. I was sick of it.
I had no mimic to you, bro.
I cried. I cried. I'm not ashamed of that. A tear. One tear. I'll class it as crying because water exited my eyeballs.
Just stress and
one
relief.
Tear.
It's one of them and you just want it done. You're like, I've done with this shit.
I was getting...
Just let me finish this now.
A weight on my shoulders. I'm a relatively anxious person. I'm a confident person, but relatively anxious. I feel like you're the same as well. And I get, because of the addiction, the anxiety from the likes of like World of Warcraft or even Death Stranding, like these games that I'm playing where I'm like, I need to play these. I want to get these done. So when I'm not doing that, I don't feel burdened by it, but it's always in my mind where I go, I need to get all of this stuff out of the way and then I can play this and do this because I want to get this done. And Prime Consort Radahn was an absolutely higher level to that by a fucking mile, like to the point where I couldn't think anything else. I couldn't do anything. I was feeling losing sleep. It was pissing me off that I felt that fucking infuriated by it. And when he fucking died, weight off my shoulders. Imagine making a boss so immensely difficult that people still feel so fucking happy that they finally killed it that they never play your game again. That's what happened. I killed him, fucked around with his swords for 5 minutes, took the disc out of the PlayStation, put it in the case, done. See you later. Done. Done with it.
He was a motherfucker.
I didn't kill all the bosses in that DLC, but I killed the hardest one, so I don't give a fuck about everything else. Done. Him and that fucking cunt that rides on the pig.
Oh,
I hated him. I hated him so much. General Arsus or whatever his fucking name was.
Was he the one that you had to fucking do an emote at the statue to open the door to get out?
I think so, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I never would have fucking worked this out. I had to Google it.
Yeah, yeah. What a fucking arsehole.
Try gesture. What fucking gesture?
Yeah, I hated him.
Finger hated butthole.
Him. Yeah, finger bumhole, please.
Is this dog?
Tortoise.
Yeah. What a game.
Right, well, sweet. Doing the Patreon. See you later, everyone. Uru.